for inviting me here today. And this is the first talk I'm giving about my data. I just finished fieldwork. And I'm going to talk about Sheepscap in the northeast of Scotland, where I've done interviews and observations with farmers and veterinarians. And first, I'm going to talk a bit about Sheepscap itself. What is the disease? What is it doing? Before talking a bit about theory, about the concept of dirt, and Mary Douglas that I've got interested in. Then I got interested in The Parasite, which is a book written by Michel Serre, and I got really excited. I thought, oh, I'm doing something with parasites. And I find it a really fascinating book. So I'm elaborating a bit on his concept of noise or interference. He's using the two quite interchangeably. Then I'm going to say something about my findings. I'm going to show you some quotes, mainly about how farmers and veterinarians recognize the disease and further what they do when they find it. There are two different realities of the disease. They're both coming from farmers and from veterinarians, so it's not like one is farmer, one is veterinarian. Then I end with some conclusions where I talk about two different mites enacted. And I have some final remarks. Well, here you see a picture. The bottom picture is a picture of a mite. This is a picture taken by a microscope because you cannot see mites with your naked eye. So they're very tiny. And on the top right, you can see a sheep that starts to lose its wool. The wool is broken. You can see already a bit the pinkiness of the skin. So it's obviously been scratching because as soon as the mite comes onto the sheep, it may take a while before signs start to show, but they feed on wound fluids. So they kind of abrase the skin, they feed on wound fluids, and this causes a severe allergic reaction in the sheep. So the sheep starts to itch, and usually they itch a lot. Like it's not just a scratch. As soon as they start to itch, it's going to be quite bad. And that's what you can see in the top left picture. You can see that the wool is broken, scabs start to appear because the skin starts to bleed because they scratch so hard. And you can see that there are severe lesions going outwards. So this is also like a serious welfare issue for sheep. And obviously farmers are not very happy if this disease occurs. And also I have to say that the farmers I've interviewed are commercial farmers. Also a few pedigree farmers I interviewed, so they are mainly keeping the sheep for meat and wool. Here you can see what are they doing about this disease. The disease has a long and fascinating history within Scotland, but also within the UK. But the main thing here is that the disease became notifiable again, but only in Scotland. And the treatments you can see on the right-hand side, you can see the dip bath and the injection, that is an officially recognized treatment for the disease. So the dip bath, they use a very poisonous chemical. It's poisonous for people, it's poisonous for the environment, and obviously all the mites die if you dip the sheep correctly because you have to plunge them completely underwater in order to kill all the mites. So that's an officially recognized treatment. You can also see that the farmer is using some protective gear to protect himself from this chemical. The injection is also a treatment that's more recently introduced, also because of the poisonous of the chemical, and after it was recognized that it was indeed a poisonous chemical. So here you see an injection just behind the ear. There are also other types of injections available that are intramuscular. And then on the other side you see, well, sometimes farmers do use them as treatments because they all refer to it as sheep dip. We've dipped the sheep. That can refer to a dip bath. It can refer also to what you see on the top right. That's a jetter. It's like a machine the sheep runs in. There's a magic eye that recognizes that there's a sheep, and with high pressure, the sheep is covered in dip, and only when it runs through. Then there is the shower. You can see a batch of sheep gets into the shower. The shower is turned on, and you wait for a couple of minutes before the sheep get back into the field. Then some concepts. I thought, well, dirt features widely in the descriptions of farmers of this disease. Usually the wool gets dirty, the wool changes color, and they do see mites as matter out of place. It's something that should not occur in your flock of sheep, because it's not that only one sheep will have it. Very soon, all sheep can be affected, and eventually they die of this disease. Not all of them would die, but yeah. And it's also disorder. As soon as it occurs, a lot of practices start to occur on the farm, because farms often feel that they have to act quickly to get this disorder out of their flock, out of the environment as well. It is seen as positive when the disease clears up. They do want to get it cleared up quickly. I do have a slight problem with Douglas's idea of dirt, because she is mainly referring to humans. So for me, it's a bit too much focused on humans. And as you could see already in my pictures and me telling about scab, it's also about mites and sheep relations. It's about sheep-sheep relations, and there's lots of technology and treatment methods involved next to only humans and the things that humans do. And her argument was made in the 60s, where she was arguing against the difference between primitive and modern societies, and that she was saying, well, they're actually quite similar in their response to dirt. The reordering is about more than humans, it's about human, non-human interconnectedness, and I think it's also quite important to attend to like multiple ways of dealing with the disease, and also the difficulty and like the gray areas in how you recognize this, and then what are you going to do when it does occur. So then I got interested in the parasite. I read this because I was reading actor network theory, and then I saw some references to Michel Serres' work, and then I thought, well, that's really interesting. The quote that I find particularly interesting is that he says the host is clean. In other words, the sheep is clean, but the parasite is dirty, the scab mite. And then he says, he refers here to the parasite, I mean that it's only clean for itself, because for a mite it's quite positive that the sheep starts to scratch, because more wound fluids becomes available, so there's more food, if you could see it like that. But the fur itself stinks for the sheep, but also for the farmer. It's not nice if your sheep start losing condition. I think it's not nice for sheep to be itchy all the time and to eventually die after a while. And he's also using the parasite, I'll talk about that when I talk about noise. Well, three types of parasites he recognizes. First one's biological, scab mite is a good example of it. Then he's talking about social parasites, and he refers to humans only. An example would be that if you have children and they're not living at home anymore, and they come to visit you, always during dinner, so they can have a nice free meal whilst they're there without actually contributing to that meal. And then the noise and interference bit. Well, it's like an interference in a relation. And I want to say that humans are parasites too, because the sheep are kept for wool and flesh. So we want the sheep for ourselves to be fat and ready for slaughter. But the mites are going in between. They also want a bit of the sheep. They're sort of interfering in that human-sheep relationship. They're also interfering in sheep-sheep relations, because as soon as a sheep is affected by scab, for example, the farmer has a ram, and the ram is affected by subclinical scab, so you cannot see that it has scab. The scab starts to appear, the ewes are not going to be interested, so you have a lot of barren ewes. And if you have a particular sheep that has scab, they usually separate themselves from the flock. So that's all, yeah, that's also one of the signs. So for me, it's interesting to deal with the messiness, also a bit the in-between, and also the gray areas, because lots of things can be noise or interference. It doesn't always have to do with sound, because if you think about noise, you start to think about an interrupting phone going off during a conference, about things that you hear that you get disturbed by. But his notion of noise is a lot broader than that. It can also be visible signs or touch, that you touch something that you really don't feel happy about, like a scabby sheep. And for him, it's coming from the French noise, noiseuse, which also quite related to nuisance or interference. And a lot of work is required to keep parasites out. So farmers and veterinarians are also talking about like lots of preventive measures. I was just thinking when I was hearing the presentation about anticipation of the parasite that may occur. There's a lot of work being done there. So I'm going to talk about farmers and their experience with the disease. The majority of farmers have experienced this disease. They're often quite confident about their skills to recognize it, even though the parasite cannot be seen. They're quite confident in that they recognize the clinical signs of this particular disease. Some of them say, well, I'm a bit in doubt because I don't see the actual parasite, and also because there may be a lot of other causes why sheep get itchy. It's not just scab mite that they start to scratch and start to lose wool. There's also diseases like lice infestations or, scabies, or scrapium, sorry. Where the sheep also start to scratch and may lose some wool. Well, in the early stages you saw the sheep lost some wool, but it wasn't a lot. It wasn't large bare patches. So there may be a lot of other causes for those clinical signs. And the veterinarians are quite confident also in their recognition of this disease. But often they do say, like, we need to take samples to the laboratory to actually see the mite under the microscope. And here are some quotes. The quotes I show you here are from farmers only, but veterinarians are saying very similar things. And these quotes are all about visible signs. They're about how you can see where the sheep has been scratching with hind legs, how they turn around and lick the wool, lick the itchy bits and pieces, or the coat just looking slightly different, slightly color change in the wool. It looks matty and stringy. And the bleeding is one of the signs that everybody mentions. As soon as they start to bleed, then you know it's a scab case. Some other quotes, those are from a farmer's conversation with his wife. And this is about a particular sheep shearing event. He was called out to shear sheep of a particular farmer. And when he arrived, he saw that the sheep were affected by scab, and not just a bit, they were quite bad in his account. And sheep shearing, I've observed a couple of sheep shearing events, and sheep tend to be quite docile. They don't really, they can jump around for a bit, but as soon as they're placed on their bottoms and the shearer starts to shear them, it tends to be all right. But this made the job really difficult because they were moving around, they were trying to bite the shearer. So it takes longer and it's not seen as very comfortable for the sheep either, because once they touch, there's a massive response. Like I got quotes like, it's like they get an epileptic attack, like they can completely fall to the ground, or yes, it's a really severe response. And that's what this is about, mainly about touching sheep with scab. And then I've got a picture, and some farmers and veterinarians have the feeling that as soon as this disease occurs, something has to be done immediately. You don't have time to wait around to kind of involve a veterinarian to go to the laboratory to test samples or to take samples. Something has to be done straight away. There's no time to waste. And also that's also going for the notification procedure. That's seen as a long, slow process. No, we want to do something now, and the government can wait. And how can this be done? How can it be that the farmers can just buy all their products and do the treatment immediately? That's because all the treatments are freely available at shops. Only for the dip you would need to buy, or you would need to have a license so you can show that you can work with poisonous chemicals. But the injections are freely available. And that's because there's no specific treatment for sheep scab, because the injection also works for worms, and the dip bath works for every external parasite available on sheep. So there's no particular treatment for this disease. And also farmers have a lot of confidence in their knowledge, in recognition of this disease. They tend to do trial and error treatments. They tend to experiment. If they think, oh, it may be scab, they do a scab treatment, for example, the injection. And after a couple of weeks, there's no change in itchiness. And then they think, oh, it may have been lice. So they do a lice treatment afterwards, or the other way around. They do a lice treatment first. They don't see a difference. And then they start to do a scab treatment. And also, mites are not always found on samples, because usually, if the farmer has done a lice treatment, a lot of the mites die, but not all of them. So after that, they may involve a veterinarian or they may take samples themselves. And there are no mites found. So that's also a bit difficult there. Also, the procedure in the lab is quite elaborate, and it's easy to kind of kill all the mites so they're completely spread all around instead of finding actual mites on the sample, which is a quite difficult procedure. The other reality is patiently waiting. Just go through all the procedures, jump through all the hoops that you have to jump through. Not always is a veterinarian involved. Sometimes farmers take their own samples and go to the lab directly. But the lab is always involved. A microscope is needed to check the samples. And usually they also go through the notification procedure. Not all of them do, but most do. I must say that the majority of farmers and veterinarians are behind the first reality, like we have to do something immediately. Only a minority is really following the rules, so to speak. Then my first conclusion. Yes, I would think that the scab mites are matter out of place and that farmers are working hard to avoid the parasite from coming in, because also usually when the disease has been present on the farm, then the farmers would always take precautions. They would use the jetter or the shower sometimes two or three times a year to be sure to do something about it in advance. Yes, the sheep get dirty. The effects can be seen and felt on the sheep. Mites are hard to detect. They're not visible, unlike other external parasites that can be seen, such as lice. And of course, also the other parasites that could be present cause noise. they cause interference in recognizing the disease. It's not straightforward at all. And yeah, the scab mites are a biological and a noisy parasite, but so are we, so are humans. So I got to two different mites in this story. One is the invisible mite. It's not made visible by a microscope, by the laboratory. That's kind of excluded from treating immediately. They only become visible by the effects that they have. And it's mainly based on experiential knowledge, based on experience, knowing what is going on. And then there's the visible mite, that the mite is made visible on samples, and you can actually see the mite on the sample. And here, laboratory practices are actively used in the process. Finally, some remarks. Other versions of mites may well be there. I've only been in the northeast of Scotland. I haven't spoken to everybody, so there may well be like hobby farmers who do completely different things. But yeah, this is what I got from the farmers and veterinarians in my research. And yeah, other areas of practices may have different mites. Thank you.